Today's weather is currently about 81 degrees in New York and 90 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.
Flies. Hot Lady Cayenne for my pressure.
Oh, I'm the Herman. Come see me. Oh, I'm the Herman. You all come see me.
Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, your host, To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, faithful assistant, Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
All right, Doc.
You know, I think we got another good one for them today. Our topic today is herbs and spices and diabetes. Herbs and spices and diabetes. You know, spicing up a plain but healthy meal is good for your taste buds, but it's also good for your health. You know, we've talked about for years now that it's critically important that healthy food tastes good. You know, God gave us taste buds because he wanted us to enjoy our foods. And so you want to reach for your spice rack and make sure that you add good flavor. But you also, when you do that, you're also adding significant nutrients to the foods. You know, nutrition researchers have said that there are more than 100 common herbs and spices that's used in cooking around the world. And some of them are very common. We want to look at them today. You know, when we look at diabetes, one of the first herbs that you think about is what, Brother Frank?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, that's right. That's right. Yes, cinnamon is a herbal spice, and yet there's some controversy about this popular herb, which we will look at today. But cinnamon comes from the bark of the cinnamon tree, and it's used in everything from pumpkin pie, you know, to oatmeal, to all kinds of dishes, lattes. You know, cinnamon is very, is especially great for people who have high blood sugar. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to lend a sweet taste to the food without adding sugar. And that's good. You know, where food can taste good, and you don't have to add the sugar with this destructive, benefits or side effects. You know, studies indicate that cinnamon can actually lower the level in people with type 2 diabetes, can lower the sugar level with people with type 2 diabetes. But in addition to just affecting diabetes, it also affects some of the complications of diabetes, you know, like heart. It has heart healthy benefits, and it's good in terms of reducing the cholesterol and triglycerides, which also contribute to the cardiovascular problems associated with mm-hmm. With diabetes. And so that's something that's very, very, very important, you know. And this is, you know, of course, we know that many people around the world use it, but there's also a number of studies that's been done, human studies looking at insulin, and it's been shown that looking at cinnamon, and it's been shown that it actually improves the level of the fasting plasma glucose, and it also improves the hemoglobin A1C, which is the marker that we most use to indicate whether a person has diabetes, because just taking a fasting blood sugar gives you a spot check.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at the hemoglobin A1C, which looked at the sugar over a 3-month period of time, then you get a much better a much better idea as whether or not a person is diabetic or pre-diabetic. And it's both, it's important to note both, because as we said many times, that pre-diabetes, the complications of diabetes, which is blindness, amputation, kidney failure, heart disease, stroke, etc., all start in the pre-diabetic phase. And so if we can do something that will help us to catch diabetes earlier, then we're doing a great job for our patients and our community in general. And there was a study in 2019. Actually, it was a review of about 16 studies. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mega analysis, and it found that cinnamon could in fact help reduce blood sugar and improve insulin resistance in people with pre-diabetes and diabetes. Now, that insulin resistance is something that we've talked about also, because we need to understand that insulin resistance is the number one cause of actual diabetes, because, you know, it's not that we don't have adequate insulin, but the insulin doesn't work. There's resistance at the cellular level. And what studies show is that this cinnamon, it acts as a key, all right, an insulin key to unlock the door to the cells so that the sugar can get in and be utilized, all right? And so it's very, very good to actually help reduce insulin resistance. And because if you don't have that sugar getting into the cell, then it stays out in the blood and it goes up higher and higher. And so cinnamon enhances insulin sensitivity. It decreases the resistance makes it easier. It's like putting oil in a rusty lock, you know, that was a 3-in-1 oil, you know, put it in that lock and it lubricates it, and it allows the insulin to be able to get in and prevent the elevation in sugar and insulin doing havoc on the body. Because not only does the sugar have a negative effect when it gets higher, but when you have excess insulin floating around because it can't be utilized, it also wreaks havoc on the metabolic processes in the body. So there are things that this blood sugar regulation can do for you. One of them, it can stabilize your energy. Stabilize your energy because a balanced blood sugar level contributes to a steady and sustained release of energy into the body throughout the day. All right. So you don't get the extreme highs and lows. Some people, one of the early complaints that people with diabetes will give is that they got low energy. All right. They got low energy. And also they'll talk about mental dullness, you know, and so when you can get the insulin utilized, you have more vitality physically, and you have more mental focus. It also helps in weight reduction, weight management, because if you have fluctuation in the blood sugar, it's going to trigger cravings, Brother Frank. And cravings leads to what? Overeating.
Yeah, weight gain.
And weight gain. Because when we overeating, we're not overeating apples. I ain't never heard nobody overeat apples. You know what I mean? We overeat those sugary and fatty foods. Mm-hmm. Stabilize the blood sugar. You support healthy eating habits, and you get better weight control. Now, also, it helps with your cardiovascular health. Remember, we said that when you have elevated blood sugar with diabetes, one of the main complications is it has a negative impact on your cardiovascular health.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain a stable blood sugar, then you're proactive in terms of actually promoting heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting against heart disease. So I want to know from our listeners, how many of you have actually used cinnamon in your management of your blood sugar? How many of you have actually used cinnamon in the management of your blood sugar? We want you to give us a call and share your experience with us. It's going to help someone else. You know, we're community, we're family. And so we got to share so we can help. The number, of course, is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call and share your experience. Now, there's some controversy in this with the cinnamon stuff. You know, in terms of what cinnamon you should use. Share with us a little bit, Frank, of your experience with various types of cinnamon. You know, we have the cassia cinnamon. We have Ceylon cinnamon. We have some made in Vietnam. you know, there's a fourth one I forget, but there's another one also. So there's at least four different kinds of cinnamon, there's been a lot of things written on the use of various cinnamon. Actually, before you give that, seeing that we have a caller, caller Liam, the number is 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Awesome. Hi, doctor. My name is Shawnee Hayes. Just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you, Shawnee.
Okay, awesome. I'm such a fan of your show, and I just wanted to call in and talk about the cinnamon because I am such a huge fan of it. And I also wanted to know if you could even let the listeners know, because I'm a true believer in the Ceylon cinnamon type, and have learned about just some of the benefits it has for weight loss as well. I lost 100 pounds naturally a couple years ago.
How much?
So, 100 pounds.
Wow. And
you went through that money fast. You know, see, if I didn't have good ears, these old ears, if they weren't good, I'd have missed that.
I'm sorry. Yes,
gotta,
I lost 100 pounds naturally.
You got to say it loud and slow.
Okay.
Over what period of time did you lose that weight?
From 2018 to 2020, and it was a result of transitioning to a whole food plant-based lifestyle.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And I also reversed a lot of chronic illnesses I was dealing with. Prediabetes was one of those, high blood pressure, cholesterol, bunch of issues that I was able to reverse as a result of, you know, changing my lifestyle. And spices were a big part of that.
Yeah.
All right. So what was your experience with insulin?
Well, I didn't. Well, luckily for me, I never had.
Not insulin. With
cinnamon.
Cinnamon,
yes.
Right. So for me, I started learning about Ceylon cinnamon, which I understand is kind of known as a true cinnamon. And in particular, there are some studies out there as far as weight loss that have shown that, you know, over time, this cinnamon can help with that. And so one of the things that I did was to include it in my oatmeal, which I love steel cut oats. I find that it is a sweeter type of cinnamon. So it moved me away from using, you know, sugar and the things that I thought I needed to sweeten my foods because it has a natural sweetness. And so I would put it in oatmeal. I would also put it in, you know, smoothies. You know, I would use any way to kind of include it in just, you know, foods that I, you know, loved. And just believe in the benefits of it. You know, I try to have a teaspoon a day, if I'm honest. You know, put it in teas and things of that nature.
So I mean, but didn't this impact the taste, the taste of food negatively?
For me, it didn't. It added a sweetness to it, if I'm honest.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you got all these benefits, and since obesity is one of the major causes of diabetes, you were able to reverse that pre-diabetes, huh?
I sure was. Absolutely. My A1C went down from, I was at, I think, 6, and it went down to 5.4.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're excited for you, and I know you just did it for a couple months, and then you went back to eating regular, right?
I sure did not. I have been a plant based, whole food plant based since since I started my journey in 2017, and here we are 2024, and I have maintained that weight loss.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
But we appreciate you. Keep on. Calling in and sharing with us. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Love your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Give us a call and with questions or just to share your experience. Let's go back to the phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
I'm on the line.
You're on the line.
Okay. Good afternoon, and I'm enjoying your show, and I called a couple of weeks ago, and my cousin asked me, "Are you in 7 days minutes now?" I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "You sure sound like it." Well, here's my story to you. I am talking to one of the churches. I'm not a member of the church, but I go there frequently because they have a good choir. And I wanted to say that I met a lady who goes to 7 days in this church when I was 10 years old, and I used to hate string beans. Because when you go most of the dinners, free dinners at church, they always have string beans. And she had string beans. And I said, I don't really want any string beans. And she said, why? I said, because I get tired of them. They don't have no taste. She said, well, people cook them with ham hocks. I said, I know, but they still don't have no taste. So she said, try mine. Now, she's an Adventist. And I tried them. Ever since then, I've been eating string beans. They are delicious, served by the people of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Jesus. I just want to put that in there.
Did she put a little cinnamon in them string beans?
Huh?
Did she put a little cinnamon in them? What did she put in them?
I don't know what she put in them, but they were delicious. And I go to another Seventh-day Adventist Church near me, and they serve string beans, and they are delicious. So people need to learn how to cook string beans. The other thing I want to say, I talk
and
about
string beans, you know, as you know, they have an insulin-like impact and actually lower blood sugar.
Okay, well, I don't have diabetes, but I do want to say I go to another regular church, and the minister's overweight, so I've been talking with him directly about fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and beans. And I went there a couple of months after that. He said, you know, Richard, guess what? I said, no, I can't guess. He said, I've lost 10 pounds without even trying doing what you do. And I said, what do you do? He said, I do the fruity vegetable blend every morning. And now I don't know, he doesn't have diabetes, but I'm going to add cinnamon to my drink. And I have a delicious drink I make every day. It's about 10 different fruits and vegetables. And Jesus will save you, and so will the diet.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much, Richard. Appreciate it. So Brother Frank, what did you learn about the various types of cinnamon and their impact?
As you know, and a lot of our audience knows, I had liver cancer at one time, and I learned that the best cinnamon was.
Well, you had, not only did you have liver cancer, you had cirrhosis of the liver too, didn't you?
Yes, cirrhosis of the liver, which I reversed with a whole food plant based diet and a lifestyle change, which included exercise, stress reduction, proper sleep, proper water, proper air, proper breathing, and cutting out a bunch of stuff, everything that was harmful to me, you know, so that's part of the lifestyle change. So I learned that cinnamon, for me, who had liver cancer, was detrimental, especially Ceylon cinnamon.
So, no, cassia.
Yeah. Cassia was better, but Ceylon was better. Ceylon was better, but cassia was worse. So be careful in your dosage. Everybody, this is a tip for everybody. Learn how your body responds to certain supplements and to certain drugs too, as well, to everything. Listen to your body. Learn to listen to your body. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. And if you're hypertensive, monitor your blood pressure.
Exactly.
If you're diabetic, monitor your blood sugar. Now that, and if you're overweight, monitor your weight. That shouldn't have to be said.
Right.
There are folk who just will not monitor themselves.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's not good. You know, they say that all cinnamon is not equal. And so you got to choose the right cinnamon. And as Frank was saying, he was using the cassia, cinnamon, and it's mainly from China, and some parts of Asia, other parts of Asia, and some parts of East Africa, and it's high in a substance. What is that? Cumarin. 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 And which has been shown to be toxic for the liver. Whereas Ceylon is much, much lower. It seems like I read about 200 times lower in the in that particular chemical. And so it has a much less negative effect on the liver. It's mainly from Sri Lanka, but many people just buy cinnamon, and if you buy cinnamon, then it's most likely going to be the cassia, C-A-S-S-I-A, the cassia cinnamon. But it's cheaper. All right, and it has a it's more spicy, a more bold, spicy taste to it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's darker in color, but it's higher in the cumarin, C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N, the cumarin, compared to the Ceylon, C-E-L-O-N. And if you go to a health store, herbal store, you'll be able to get it. But if you just buy cinnamon, it's most likely going to be cassia. Now, both have been shown to be effective in lowering blood sugar. Most of the studies that were originally done were done with cassia cinnamon. That was before they knew that it had a negative impact on the liver. So, but if you aren't using high levels of it, it's not as bad. But if you're using high levels of using it over long periods of time, you want to be careful in terms to make sure you don't use more than a teaspoon. I would say 3 or 4 times a week, as opposed to doing it every day. And so the kind of cinnamon that you use really makes a difference. And you know, now the Ceylon cinnamon costs more.
Oh, yeah.
The Ceylon cinnamon costs more, but it has less of an effect. And if you have any evidence of liver disease and if you're diabetic, then you tend to be more predisposed to liver issues than if you are not. So you're more likely need to use the Ceylon. But the Ceylon has a lot of significant health benefits. It's full of beta carotene, you know, it's full of the pro vitamins that go to form your vitamin A. You know, it helps it has anti-inflammatory properties, which decrease inflammation. And you know, inflammation is one of the factors associated with diabetes, as well as heart disease and arthritis. And so it really is significant. And there have been some early studies to show that the Ceylon may actually decrease the bad cholesterol, decrease your overall cholesterol, as well as the bad cholesterol, without having any negative effects on the good cholesterol. And so we highly recommend looking at using insulin as part of the regimen. Once again, those who have used cinnamon as part of your regimen in treating diabetes. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call. You know, Ceylon insulin is high in vitamin A, vitamin K, potassium, zinc, manganese, You know, it's just really very, very good. And so we want to highly encourage you. I know my wife, she goes and she's in law, but she tells me, honey, when you buy the cinnamon, make sure you get Ceylon cinnamon. And so we're excited. But there are other herbs and spices that are helpful with diabetes. All right. And one of them is one that we use on our skin. It's called what? Aloe vera. Yeah. Aloe vera is very good. It's a common plant with various uses. And as I said, you know, most people are familiar with aloe vera in the skin. But studies have shown that aloe vera actually slows the progress of type 2 diabetes. All right? It slows the progress of type 2 diabetes. One study, for instance, the findings suggest that aloe vera may help protect and even repair the beta cells in the pancreas. Now, these beta cells are the cells that produce the insulin. And so you need to have that. And they think that the reason is because aloe vera has this antioxidant effect on the cells, and it blocks the oxidation, and that's very important. And another study showed that it helps to lower the level of both the fasting glucose and the hemoglobin A1C. It lowers both of them. So what happens when you get the protective effect on the pancreas, then you're increasing your insulin levels, all right? And it boosts the health and also the number of other related pancreas cells. You know, the islets of Langerhans, where the insulin is produced, it protects against kidney disease, depression, anxiety, and oxidative stress. And it at least in one study, it was helped to boost eye health. And so, aloe vera, which we've used for many, many years for the skin, also is good for diabetes. I have to say that in my cancer protocol, we use aloe vera, whole leaf aloe vera, and the reason is because it has a profound effect on the immune system. And so anytime we talk about inflammation and decreasing inflammation, you're talking about something that's having a positive effect on the immune system. And so aloe vera is very effective. Now, aloe vera is bitter, all right? Aloe vera is bitter. If any of you have used aloe vera, you can call and share with us, but aloe vera is bitter. But I tell people, use it and just holler. It keeps you getting up.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah. Frank used it in his therapy to reverse his cancer. It's really, really powerful. I've seen it work. Now there's something else bitter, and it's so bitter it even has it in its name. It's called bitter melon. Mm-hmm. Bitter melon, you know, traditional Chinese and Indian practitioners have used this for centuries, mm-hmm. right? They use it for centuries in many things. And there was a big study that was done in 2020, Brother Frank, mm-hmm. where they took 90 participants, and they gave them either bitter melon extract or placebo. And they found that those who took the extract had lower fasting blood sugar levels after 12 weeks. Mm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this bitter melon is been shown to be effective. You know, as I said, they use it in Asia, South America, India, parts of Africa. It's rich in vitamin A, it's rich in vitamin C and beta carotene. It has a lot of minerals, especially iron and potassium, which is very, very good. And it helps with many diseases. You can use it, either the fruit, you can use the seed, and it's good for diabetes, it's good for skin disorders, it's good for asthma, stomach problems, you know. Bitter melon is excellent. And what happens, Brother Frank, bitter melon acts like insulin, right? Bitter melon acts like insulin. And it actually helps to lower the blood sugar like insulin. And some studies show that it does this by causing more glucose to enter the cell.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's increasing the insulin sensitivity, is opening up the cell and allowing the glucose to go into the cell, and then for the body to be able to process it and then store the energy in the liver, in the muscle, and in the fat. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
And so it seems that it also helps to prevent the body from changing nutrients that it has stored into glucose, thus helping to keep the blood sugar down, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, you know, if you need extra extra energy, the body will go and take some of the fat and so forth and break it down into glucose and put it into the system. But if you can keep it stored, then this bitter melon seems to do that. It lowers the blood sugar. It also like the aloe vera, it lowers the hemoglobin A1C. Right, and so bitter melon is something that's very, very important. The number here is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We talk about herbs and spices and diabetes. Let's go back to the phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello, Dr. Watkins.
Yes.
Yes, I want to talk about aloe vera.
All right.
I had some liquid aloe vera that you have to refrigerate.
Yes.
Is that really good for you?
Well, I don't recommend the commercial brand of aloe vera. I have aloe vera plants all over my house, and I have them for my patients. And when they need them, I give them some of my plants if they can't find any.
But you don't drink it.
You use the whole leaf aloe vera. You take it and you blend it. You mix it with a little water or juice. Blend it, and then drink it. All right. As opposed to what we generally find in the store is the gel form. All right. Just the inside, and it's good. All right. Except that it's processed. And two, most of the nutrients are in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is what I had it in the quart bottle, a plastic bottle. You said that's not good?
That's not as good as getting you a plant or a couple plants and growing and breaking off a leaf or cutting off a piece. Throw it in your Vitamix, mix a little water and juice, and have at it and scream because it's bitter. But it's very, very, very powerful. I remember when I first learned about this, about the whole leaf aloe vera, I went to try to find some research on it, and I couldn't find any good research in the American literature. And so I went to the medical school, and I found one of my professors who was from India. And I asked him, you know, Doc, what do you know about whole leaf aloe vera? And it was like he was waiting for me to come. He pulled out from his shelf two books that had a marker in it that talked about, there were two different dialects, talked about the use of aloe vera. And I remember, one of them I remember, it says that on day one, mothers would give their babies aloe vera to drink. And on day two, they give them breast milk. And the reason is because, I think it was pertussis, was so high in the country. If they gave them breast milk the first day, they would many of them would die.
Well, but okay.
One day of aloe vera.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm going to stop buying that stuff then, because this is quite expensive, and you have to refrigerate it, and you're supposed to drink at least 3-4 times a day. So I think I'm going to stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, you can also buy aloe vera leaves, big ones, at health food stores and Asian markets. And sometimes they have them at the Spanish markets, too.
Yeah, the Spanish or Asian markets, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm going to try that then. Well, thank you, Doc.
All right. Thank you. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins.
Good afternoon.
I have a question about Vietnamese cinnamon. We've been using that on our oatmeal in the mornings. And it's very strong.
Go ahead.
It's very strong, and it's really great if you don't use sugar. I heard you recommend the Ceylon cinnamon. So how do the two fare?
So what they say about the Vietnamese cinnamon, they haven't done a lot of studies on it, but it seemed to be more like the cassia cinnamon. So but really it's dose related, you know. So if you're not using a whole lot, then you probably, and you don't have problems with your liver, you probably won't have any problems with it. But you know, if you do have problems with your liver, then you'd be much safer to use a Ceylon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right.
By the way, we should mention that you can get real Ceylon cinnamon at your health food stores or the spice store.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're more than welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We want to talk about another herb that Brother Frank is very familiar with, and that's milk thistle.
Oh, yeah.
I say Frank is familiar with it because most times milk thistle is spoken of in terms of the liver. It has an extract, how you pronounce it? Sumerlin, I think it's pronounced. And it's a compound that's in milk thistle that scientists have really studied a lot. And it has very powerful antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties. All right, and which makes it very, very good for people with diabetes. All right, with diabetes, and so they looked at milk thistle, and they found that it actually helps lower the blood sugar, and it also improves insulin production, and it's is very, very good. You know, the inflammation has a vital role in the production and progression of diabetes. And the milk thistle really helps to in a very robust way stop the inflammation and it's very good in terms of getting rid of oxidative stress and oxidative stress is where you have this imbalance between the free radical production and the antioxidants in the body and it also is implicated in the production of diabetes. And so the milk thistle helps to make the insulin more sensitive, you know, so that it can decrease insulin resistance, make it more sensitive so that it can more effectively get the sugar into the bloodstream. And it also seems to, once again, has a preservational effect on the pancreatic beta cells. And so these simple herbs and spices can significantly benefit you, you know, they've used doses of milk thistle from, say around 210 milligrams to 600 milligrams a day for up to 6 months. And it really seems to make a big, big difference. And so I encourage people to look at these. And there's been a lot of research on it. So this is not just, you know, something that we want to just sort of create. It's been studied and restudied and restudied, and has been shown to be effective. And a lot of people just don't know about milk thistle and diabetes. But it looks like we have another caller, so we're going to quickly go back to the phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Well, doctor, how are you? Thank you for your program this afternoon.
You're more than welcome.
I was wondering if you had any recommendations for herbs or spices for DVT blood clots or blood clots in general.
There are a number of herbs that can be used as anticoagulants. Mm-hmm. You know, things like garlic. Turmeric is used. Dandelion is used. You know, there are a number of things. If you call my office, we can actually send you a list of them. And Frank will give that number in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can give you a list. All right. So one other herb that I want to mention, because we just have a couple of minutes, is fenugreek. Mm. Fenugreek, mm-hmm. You know, and fenugreek seeds have been shown to lower blood sugar, you know, and they think it's because of the fiber, because when you have something with a lot of fiber, it slows the absorption, the digestive process of the carbohydrates and the sugars. It slows it, get into the bloodstream, and therefore you don't get the spike in sugar that you normally get. And so you know, that's very, very important. And they've done some studies, and the studies show that fenugreek actually delays or prevents the onset of diabetes. And so you can use this not just to treat the diabetes, you can actually use it to prevent diabetes. And of course, that's where we want to go. We want to not just treat it, but we also want to prevent it, you know, so it lowers the blood sugar levels, it increases the insulin, it prevents diabetes. And so that's something that we want to note. And if you have a question or comment about any of these, give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. We've just got a couple of minutes, and I just want to mention one last Denuma, D-Y-M-N-E-M-A. Its name means sugar destroyer. its name means sugar destroyer. And so that stuff, is that a new caller that we got there, Brother Frank?
Yeah.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins. This is Natai. How are you?
How you doing, Natai?
I'm well, thank you. I have a question going back to the aloe.
Yes.
I take aloe. I cut off a section every day, but I put it in my tea. Should I do that?
Well, I'm not used it that way. I imagine you can. I would have to really look and see the impact of heat on the constituents of the aloe.
I see. Okay.
I'll check afterwards and see. And you could probably even Google it and see the impact of heat. In general, if things that you can do raw, do them raw. Now, it is a little bitter, so you may want to mix it with something, juiced, or if you have iced herbal tea, you could probably mix it with that, certainly. But in terms of, I imagine you're talking about hot tea.
I do. I cut a big chunk and I chop it up really well. I leave the backside on so it won't just float around freely. But I steep it with my tea every morning. So
okay.
It is hot.
Let me check into the tea, because okay. I didn't read anything on aloe vera and tea, but yeah, that may be another good way to get it in. So let me check it out. Give me a call a little later, and I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir.
I think that did it for us, man.
Yep, we only have a few minutes. We want to thank Doc especially, and thank our callers. We really appreciate you all calling in and asking questions and making your comments. If you have questions for my doctor, call 202-388-0992, or you can call that number to make an appointment. Tuesdays through Thursdays from 10 to 5, or you can go to www.twiliving.com. That's the Watkins Institute Living.com, twiliving.com. We want to thank Kalia Chapman, our superb engineer.
Able.
Yep, able for sure. Yuki Williams, our past or current acting general manager, Katia Stitt, program director, and all of the WPFW staff, programmers, and listeners. Thank you, Oladari, for your music contribution, and Maccabi as well. Stay tuned to WPFW. Next up is Brother Kaba with African Deep Thought Edition. Listen next week for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health with Dr. Theodore Watkins and myself.
I eat and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then they realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. It has been more than 6 months since the Israel-Hamas war began, and more than 35,000 people have been killed, 70% of them being women and children. As the intense violence and heavy fighting continue, students in America are protesting the war at major universities like Yale, Harvard, George Washington, and Columbia University. Many pro-Palestinian protesters are calling for their colleges to rid themselves of funds from Israeli military operations. Some of these student protests have turned into around-the-clock encampments. As a result, several schools have called police to remove demonstrators, and colleges are cracking down on students who do not comply. For instance, Columbia University told protesters to disperse by 2 p.m. this afternoon or face suspension. Despite the warning, hundreds of protesters did not vacate the premises, but vowed to stay and even escalate their actions against the university. Nearly 7 million Americans who are 65 years of age and older are living with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's, which is the most common type of dementia, is a progressive disease beginning with mild memory loss and possibly leading to loss of the ability to carry on a conversation and respond to the environment. There is currently no known cure for Alzheimer's, but new research is providing a glimmer of hope. This research has found that a pill that's already common among millions of diabetics could cut the risk of Alzheimer's in half. The drug is called Actos, also known as pioglitazone. It's applauded for its ability to slow down cognitive decline, dramatically reducing the frequency of disease. This medication works by enhancing insulin levels, thus helping to regulate blood sugar. According to the study, the overall occurrence of dementia dropped by 16% among those who were prescribed Actos, with the number of cases diminishing the longer that the treatment was used. To your local news, New York State will soon require internet providers to charge some low-income residents just $15 a month for internet access. This is major because this one survey found the average cost of internet in American homes is about $65 per month. The decreased internet was supposed to go into effect in 2021 during the height of the pandemic, but a lower court ruling blocked the policy days before it was to go into effect. However, a federal appeals court has reversed that lower court ruling. Despite this, telecom trade groups have sued the state, arguing that providing internet access at a lower price will cost them too much money. However, lawmakers have pushed back, saying that internet access is a, quote, vital utility. If internet companies do not comply with the new ruling, they will be fined. To the D.C. area, the George Washington University Cancer Center wants to help people resume their regular routines of getting cancer screenings. Their reason is simple. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, there has been a decline in the number of people, especially minorities, being screened for breast, lung, and colon cancer. Hannah Saffron, a community health associate with the George Washington University Cancer Center, said, "We want to make sure that women over 40 are getting mammograms either yearly or every other year. We want to make sure that people over 45 are getting colonoscopies," end quote. Saffron recognized that many people hesitate to get cancer screenings out of fear, but said that's the reason why staffers at the George Washington University Cancer Center have trained neighborhood health ambassadors through its SCREEN program. SCREEN stands for Strengthening Community Reach and Equity by Engaging the Neighborhood. More information can be found at cancercenter.gwu.edu. Again, that's cancercenter.gwu.edu. In today's weather, it's currently about 81 degrees in New York and 90 degrees in D.C. That's all for your